two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing. I got nothing to do. Hey, hey. It's a sunny day. My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, 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 hey. It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. I'm Maria Chaleos, along with Ton Bettis. And today we are joined by Cameron Alcott from Progressive Plants because we want to talk about new plant varieties later in the show. So, Cameron, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's good to have you here.
Oh, thank you for having
me on. Got up early on a foggy day to be with us.
You know, I am not used to waking up this early at this time of year. So,
well, it's not usually foggy like this. And it's pretty nasty out there on the East Bench this morning coming in from Salt Lake's East Bench. It was pretty nasty. How about your drive, Tom?
You know, coming up from Santa Quinn, I ran into really heavy fog through Spanish Fork, then again right at the point of the mountain. That was interesting, going past Thanksgiving Point and those areas where it's already on like a 60-mile-an-hour luge run, and then you got that fog, and it made for a little bit of an interesting commute, but we made it.
Yeah, the National Weather Service telling us that a dense fog advisory is in effect till about noon today, through 11 at least. So it's going to be burning off, but boy, we're kind of stuck with that this morning. So please take precautions. Drive a little more slowly out there. And I give that advice to myself as well. It always helps to slow down when you can't see.
I left a half hour early just in case of the fog. I wasn't sure if it was going to be all the way in, so we're good.
Well, I'm glad you're here because this morning we were talking about cyclamen to start out the show, and I don't know a whole lot about it other than I haven't been incredibly successful at getting to live after it blooms.
99% of the time, it's just grown as a living flower display. And when the flowers fade, people oftentimes will just send it to green waste, hopefully, and or just compost it. And that's fine to do. We have a fact sheet up on the KSL Greenhouse page, and I'm assuming on our main website also with the station.
Caitlin's giving you a thumbs up.
Nice, Caitlin.
Our producer is on it. Thank you, Caitlin.
She is on it. And so once you look at the cyclamen, you'll recognize it. But it's very common through the fall and winter, and then you don't see it so much in the garden centers during the summer.
Okay. So describe a cyclamen for those folks who haven't seen it.
Green leaves. I'm just kidding. I'll do better.
Thank you, because that's what every plant. Well, not every plant.
One of the hardest things, actually, and I'll get back to this. We will not go to get sidetracked. But when someone calls in and says, "Well, I saw this bush and it had green leaves," you're like, "Oh boy." So no, the leaves are heart shaped and oftentimes have a little bit of not really variegation, but mottling, a silver mottling in them. And then the flowers will usually be white, pink, or red. And they come up maybe 3 or 4 inches. It looks a little maybe like an African violet.
Right. It is a popular plant this time of year for Valentine's Day. I see it a lot in the stores for Valentine's Day.
It is. And the reason that you don't see it grown often as a houseplant is because it likes to go dormant during the hottest part of the summer. It's actually native to warm Mediterranean climates. It's around the actual Mediterranean, but it'd be something similar to like a Los Angeles or San Diego climate. So during the hottest, driest part of the year, it will go dormant so that it doesn't have to try to get water when it's hot. And so it grows actively for 8 or 9 months out of the year. And so what will happen is it'll look happy. And then come May or June, the leaves start to die and people think they've killed it. And so during this period of time, if you can actually take it to a cooler part of the house, I know in the summer it's a little hard, but somewhere in the basement, and just let it go dormant, water it every few weeks so it doesn't get bone dry. And then come fall, late September, October, it'll start to relieve. You can bring it back up. And oftentimes, if you want the challenge, you can get it to rebloom.
Problem with this is I've forgotten about it by then.
Yeah. You go down there 3 years later and you've got this mummy sitting there of a cyclamen. But, you know, it's one of those things that every time I recommend people, as a long-term kind of 2 or 3 month flower display and just get rid of it, compost it when you're done. There's always that one gardener that says, I'll have you know my cyclamen's 15 years old. Like, good on you.
Yeah, for sure. And the reason to talk about cyclamen is if you love flowers, you love blooming flowers in your home, for several months you can have a plant that's blooming.
You can, and where it's a little bit cooler right now, those flowers last longer as compared to, if you had it in the middle of the summer. And so it's almost like one of the floral mums, the cyclamens, the clanchos, which we'll cover in a week or two, are all things that will have flowers for a few months, and then they decline, and you can go ahead and compost them.
Okay, this isn't something, though, you can move to the yard for half of the year.
Well, you can take it out in the shaded areas. You know, a lot of fact sheets that you'll read will say take it outside, but in the Intermountain West, our solar radiation is so intense that our sunlight's actually different. And so if you took that outside in Portland or even like Savannah, Georgia, it would be a lot different and it would tolerate it a lot better. But to where we get just, I don't know how else to describe it, but just brighter light and more intense. If you take it outside, you're going to want to take it to the shade for a couple hours, bring it in. Take it for 3 or 4 hours the next day, and over a week or 10 days, slowly transition it. And in the middle of the summer, it's still going to go dormant. And so you're not going to have this real pretty thing. But in the fall, when it breaks dormant, so you can leave it outside through maybe mid to late October. But when we start to get near frost, you need to bring it in.
We've been talking about houseplants for the last couple of weeks at the top of the show, the plant of the week. How does this one compare as to the others when it comes to care? How easy is it to
water it? Because it's actively growing during the winter, you want to water it every week to 10 days. Stick your finger in the soil, and if it feels dry, 2 or 3 inches down, water. And then you're going to maybe use half-strength plant fertilizer if you're using a liquid every other time you fertilize, or just a recommended dose of something like Osmocote. But this is one that the expectations are different. And it's not like you're caring for a pothos or a spider plant that's almost impossible to kill. This is one that we actually grow, and it's meant to be kind of temporary. And if people want to grow it as a long-term houseplant, it's a hobby plant that you like to tweak things and like to manipulate.
Well, I usually like
them.
The so challenge to see how like long I can get something to live. But
yeah, and so this is more one that requires a little more care. You know, not much more. What's the flower, the Christmas flower?
The poinsettia?
Not that. Well, poinsettia would be another one.
The Christmas cactus?
Christmas cactus. There's several of them that require this. But at any rate, this is one that if it doesn't last long term, you're not a failed gardener.
Well, thank you. So how long can we expect it to last then?
If you get it right when it starts blooming, 2 or 3 months sometimes. Okay. 3 months at the longest, usually.
I don't know. If you're spending $15 for a plant and you get 3 months worth of flowers, I think it's worth it.
You know, we need to talk at some point.
$5 a month of flowers? I'm on it.
Yeah. There's a whole group of pineapple relatives that are beautiful flowers that will last for about 6 months, and then you just throw them away because when they flower, they're at the end of their life cycle. But we'll talk, like Brugsmania is one. There's several of them. But we'll talk about those in a future show because they're very available right now and very different. They're sometimes more expensive, but they last a long time.
All right. You can find out more about Cyclamen, the plant of the week. You can either go to our website at ksl.com/greenhouse. And we always post all of this wonderful information on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. Caitlin does a great job. So, Caitlin, thank you for that. The number to call if you'd like to be part of the show, 801-575-8255. We'd love to hear from you this morning. You can talk about houseplants. You can ask us any questions. Or you can also text us your questions at 57500.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos, Tom Bettis with you. And today we have Cameron Alcott from Progressive Plants joining us. Cameron is into all things new. I understand that when we're talking about the latest varieties that you're right on it. So, but let's start out with perennials for a minute. I know that perennials aren't your very favorite, but a lot of people are planning right now. When people are actually planning, we talked a lot about landscaping last week. But when people are planning their landscapes right now, what are some of the things you'd like them to think about?
Mostly, I'd like people to think about their water sources more than anything. There is a huge variance on where water comes from, whether it's like Utah Lake secondary water, whether they're using culinary water, secondary water from like, you know, Weber Basin or something like that. That could have an effect on what plants that you can put in your yard. It's something that a lot of people don't really think about. So, for instance, like spirea is a very common landscape plant.
Mm-hmm.
Do great in 90% of, you know, where you plant them in northern Utah. You get into like Saratoga Springs, Eagle Mountain, anything that's, you know, fed by Utah Lake secondary water.
The Jordan River Corridor, those
Riverton,
wells.
Harriman areas and stuff.
Yeah, West Utah County.
It gets
up into Harriman. It does get interesting.
It gets scary more than anything. And, you know, how you deliver that water, you know, whether you're using overspray or drip irrigation also comes into play. It almost gets a little scary when you're trying to plan your yard. Like, oh, no, what can I plant? You know, because you don't want to plant something and then have it die because the water, you know, because you think that water is something that the plant wants. But, you know, the salinity of the water.
You know, if you're in those areas that are irrigated off Jordan River for times of the year, those shallow wells. It slowly builds because mm-hmm. when you first start out, your soil could be fine,
mm-hmm.
maybe a bit clay, but that's fine. But over 5 to 10 years, you keep watering with slightly salty water and the salts hold in the clay. And all of a sudden, 5 to 10 years down the road, your landscape starts to decline.
Yeah.
And those are the kinds of things you really need to know.
Exactly. We learned a lot when the Daybreak development was first going in, was it 15? Almost 20 years mm-hmm. ago now. It was right when we relocated out into Copperton, and we were awarded that contract to kind of build, you know, probably about 80-90% of Daybreak as far as, like, you know, supplying the plants. And we learned a ton of what works out there. And
so what did you find?
Don't plant autumn blaze maples.
Because what happens to them?
They mostly just get chlorotic and die. That's a one tree that is like better suited to either the east side up on the benches. They seem to do okay up in Park City, Heber. They do not like the valley floors down here. You know, too salty, too high of a pH.
Larry Sagers used to ask if people were wanting sugar maples, autumn blaze, do you live east or west of I-15?
Yes, that's actually a pretty good dividing line right there. So I kind of get a little more conservative than that. I mean, I would kind of wait until we get to about like 13th East and you start going up, then the soil gets a lot better and things just work and live.
So what else should they steer away from though? Give us those first.
Too many to kind of think of. I kind of have to think about it for a minute. So a lot of your, you know, Spirea japonica, Spirea bimalda.
So Anthony Water.
Anthony Water, your common.
Lemon, lime, those.
Yeah,
sort.
Lime mound, yeah. Gold mound Spireas. And even those are kind of falling away at this point. We're starting to discontinue those in favor of, you know, newer varieties that are a little bit tougher. But there's just like a handful of things that aren't very salt tolerant. Actually, like spruce would actually be a really good one. Most spruce don't particularly like it out there very well. Pines will typically do okay, and cedars have been doing fantastic out in that area. So firs, don't do firs. out there.
So. Okay.
And this is a challenge that, you know, even though the majority of our population doesn't live on that kind of Jordan River corridor, but as you go on Redwood Road, that west side of Utah County, South Salt Lake County into Utah County, down toward Goshen, is the next area for huge population growth. It's one of our only areas left. And going into the future, these sorts of decisions on whether you're going to do autumn blaze maples or spireas, the traditional not so great landscape that people plant usually, is not going to work at all out in those areas. And so these decisions are becoming more and more important.
Yeah. And it's been interesting because, like, a lot of the trend has been into developing native plant material for more of like an ornamental use. There's a guy up in Idaho that I've been working with. He's actually been trying to breed natives so that they behave a little bit more consistently. Because, you know, a lot of times if you try to use natives inside of a landscape, you don't know if something's going to get 8 feet or 4 feet. You know, that gets hard to kind of plan. But he's been, you know, breeding, doing whatever techniques that he needs to do to actually get consistent performance out of the natives that he's doing. And so that might be something that we end up doing more in the future.
One of our texters wants to chime in on this subject, saying that the Army Corps of Engineers had a major project for desalination of the entire Colorado River drainage area at one time. So somebody tried to work on this at
that
one point in time.
That would be expensive. That's, holy cow.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting thought.
So, yeah. I mean, as far as for folks moving out toward that, and I'm a little more familiar with Utah County, so through Lakeshore, Goshen, lower areas of Genola, what plant material are you recommending for these areas that have potentially slightly higher salty soil, saltier soils?
You know, it's kind of interesting. My sister is a much bigger plant nerd than I am. And she kind of figured out, we were looking through like a lot of these, you know, plant lists of what we think is going to work out in these areas. Anything out of the legume family seems to be working pretty well. So anything that's like nitrogen fixing, those seem to work in those areas. And I think that there's, you know, you could use like, you know, beech is not a bad one to use. There's actually some new varieties of maples that are handling the soils out there a lot better. There's the, it's basically the Sunset Series. You have to pay attention to the Latin name because there's two Sunset Series for maples.
And so you're talking Pacific, Norwegian.
Norwegian
What's
Sunset,
the new
Pacific
Scarlet
sunset?
One.
Urban Sunset. Urban. There's a Ruby Sunset that's a little bit shorter. And then there's a Crimson Sunset if you like the red look, the red leaf look on them. Those, I mean, those maples have actually been doing really well. I've been steering people away from sycamores a little bit more because it seems like there's more and more anthracnose, and it's getting harder
of,
to deal with.
And I won't name them, but I know of universities that have literally hundreds of sycamores, and the long-term solution is removal. Hugely expensive.
I don't know of any other solution because in my neighborhood over in Holiday, you know, there are these beautiful sycamore trees that have been in for, you know, 20 years now, 30 years, and every summer they're just sad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we should find a different tree.
I've found a lot, some of the oaks, the white oak groups, so American white oak, English oak, both the columnar and regular, and bur oak have been performing a little bit better in those areas than some of our older, you know, like the autumn blaze maple.
Right. See, and it's interesting that you say that because that's one of our big pushes at Progressive Plants this year, where we're going to be really going to the landscape architects and pushing them harder to look at the different oaks, like chinkapin oaks. I mean, those have been doing really well. There's a hybrid that's a heritage oak that's a cross between, I can't remember.
It's now. English and...
It's English and something else.
It might be it might burr be just, or wider.
I think it is burr. It is burr. So that's going to be pretty interesting. And then Shamardi oaks. I mean, those have been, you know, doing pretty well out here as well.
All right, you're listening to the KSL Greenhouse. We have to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255, or you can text us at 57500. We'll be right back.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.